Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the show. It's been a long week. Let me just start there. For those of you who listen on a pretty regular basis, you know that I just wrapped up the Women of Influence Conference in Mountain View. It was a huge success, and you know, once again, thank you to our sponsors, TechCode, all the speakers, everybody who came out in support of that. Last weekend, I was able to go to the open house of one of the speakers that I work with a lot, Katerina Rando, who's got a new women's center that is really, really fantastic, and I'll be doing at least one of my events at her center. If you live in San Francisco, it's in the Avenues, really, really cute spot, and I'm looking forward to doing some work out there as well. Tomorrow, we've got a really special event. It's an online event. It's the Next Level Speaker Pitch Fest, which is the first time I'm going to be doing this. And I'm really excited about it because we've got 15 speakers and 4 judges, and the speakers are going to be essentially competing to share the stage with me at Google next month. And I'm really excited about that because we have over 300 people registered to attend that event. So this is going to be a pretty important event. And, you know, I didn't want to just, I know a lot of speakers. I put over 800 speakers on stages, and so I didn't want to just give this opportunity to, you know, the speakers. Otherwise, it would, you know, it would be impractical. And so I decided to host a online competition and let the judges sort of choose who is Google ready. And so I'm really excited about that. That's going to be tomorrow, Saturday. That starts at 10 a.m. That's going to be online, so no need to travel. I had someone who kept emailing me the last 48 hours. She kept emailing me. She emailed me like 3 or 4 times, and she kept saying, you know, I can't come there because I'm coming from Yuba, and the airfare is $700, and I'm going, where does she think this is? It says virtual, you know, which always goes to the point that I make to people is that nobody ever reads anymore. It says right there, it's a virtual event, you don't need to travel. But she kept asking me, trying to figure out how she can get here. She's trying to get a ride from somebody. She said all of this in the email. And I just sort of sat there and looked at it because I answered her a couple of times. So that's kind of what I've been dealing with all week. So tomorrow's the pitch fest. Monday, I'm going to be in San Diego doing my Women of Influence conference in San Diego. And as a special treat, the SBA has invited me to do my sales strategy talk the next day on the 27th. And I'm taking all of my speakers with me who are there for the Women of Influence Conference. So it's 2 days of talks, which I'm really excited about, and these speakers are really, really terrific. So I'm super excited to be working with everybody. And now on with the show. We've got some new people that are calling in. I'm trying to work with more, or try to invite more people onto the show. And so our first guest is a licensed professional counselor, master energy therapist, excuse me, and an author. And I'm really excited. Lynn Riley is coming on first time for the show. I believe she's on the line. Lynn, are you there? Welcome to the show.
I am. Hi there, Tony.
How you doing? And happy Friday to you. Happy weekend. Thanks so much for calling in.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about your career as a therapist. How did you get going? How long have you been at it? Who do you work with?
Well, I actually have been, I started as a high school counselor back about 17, 18, something like that, years ago, and started my career there, and then moved off out of the school system and into private practice. So now I'm working primarily with, I shouldn't say primarily with anybody, I actually have a real mixed crowd, so which I love because I get the diversity of hearing all kinds of stories, which is a really beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. You, which sort of brings up an interesting point. As you know, it's been all over the news, gun shooting or shootings in schools and that sort of thing. Do you have any thoughts on that? Because one of the debates that I'm hearing a lot about are arming teachers, and because you were a counselor once upon a time, I would imagine by extension arming counselors with guns as well. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Tony, I don't think we have time for that. I have such strong thoughts.
We'll make time because I think it's important. We'll make time.
No, I know. I'm joking because I have some really strong, passionate feelings around that. I mean, I think, quite frankly, if I'm going to throw my opinion straight on out there, that's completely absurd, and that's not addressing any type of issue besides creating a new one of fear that just doesn't need to be there. We're not addressing the real underlying issues here. We're just trying to mask things by creating even more drama than is necessary at all.
Okay. So if you were going, and we're going to get back to your practice and that sort of thing, but I think it's too important a topic to just sort of gloss over.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you had the opportunity to talk to the NRA, the president of the United States, the gun lobbyist, what would you say to them, being someone who was in the school system? What would you tell them? What do you want them to know that they don't seem to be getting?
Well, I would really want to be asking them more questions of why they're not looking at these laws and taking them seriously, why they're not. What is it that they're afraid of by actually changing these laws and addressing some of the real significant things that are happening here? You know, why there isn't more investigation of first of all, why are they even selling the types of the guns that they are? It's silly. I mean, it really is just doesn't really make any sense, in my opinion. And beyond that, the people that they're selling them to, there isn't enough of looking at who is owning these guns, who's buying these guns, what is their purpose, and really diving into that a little bit more. You know, I'm not anti-gun at all, but, you know, some of these issues really feels like there really could be some really simple things put into place here to be addressing what it just doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw the town hall with Marco Rubio, and, you know, props to him for showing up, for that town hall. It is noted that he has accepted over $3 million in donations from the NRA. Do you think that those politicians who are accepting donations from the NRA should keep their seats?
Should keep their seats? Oh, I mean, certainly not. Again, it's like looking back at why are we looking at numbers? Why are we not looking at underlying issues here? Why are we not looking at direct problems? That would be my question of what are we trying to avoid here? We're throwing out details that make absolutely no difference and not addressing what's real.
I like it. I like that. Thank you. I really appreciate you stating your opinion, because that's what we do on this show. You teach others how to live a more serendipitous life, and one of the reasons why I booked you on this show is because you use one of my favorite words, which is serendipity, and it's a word I don't see very often in day-to-day conversation. How do you do that? How do you teach people with all the chaos that's going on in the world? How do you teach people how to live more serendipitously?
I, too, love that word quite a bit, and I use it quite a bit as well. And, you know, to me, living serendipitously is living with the unexpected joy. It is living in the flow of life. And so really it's just taking and using simple practices on how to live in the flow, how to be more in the moment, and how to let that unexpected joy become part of your awareness, and so you can allow it to fill you. And so, you know, some of those practices that I use, that I teach, are to look at the, you know, one thing, one good thing that happened to you today. One, you know, in the midst of, you said, you know, you came on saying, well, it's been a long week, right? And so we're so good at that, and feeling that stuff as it's happening, but we're a little less practiced in feeling of, wow, in that long week, you know, as mine was as well, what are all the great things that happened? And maybe there weren't tons of great things, but there were probably several that happened throughout the week that we pay less attention to. So it's really just a focus and putting more awareness on the everyday good things that happen in life to bring that feeling of joy, whether you create it, as well as the unexpected joy that shows up, that creates that proof for us that life is actually happening for us as opposed to being a challenge all the time.
Mm-hmm. And I really like that, because you're absolutely right. And we all have lives that are, you know, chaotic, and sometimes more often than not. I notice that when I'm getting ready to do a conference or a major event or a series of events, things get a little nuts. And it's interesting because it's always a day or two right before I get ready to do the event. It's not the big stuff that upsets me. It's always the little stuff, the nitpicky stuff that really sort of gets under my skin. And I've gotten better at turning that around and not letting it cloud me the entire day. But it still takes some practice. Do you have some tips that we can enact today where we're having a really just crappy, shitty day, and we can sort of remind ourselves to turn that around? Do you have any tips for us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually my current, always favorite practice, because, you know, just like you, I've always got a lot of stuff going on, and like most people, I'm a real chaos junkie. So if there's not chaos, like, there's got to be something wrong. So, and I too, you know, the big stuff, bring it on. I am good with the big stuff, but the little stuff, whew, and the little stuff's always creeping up on us. So yeah, it absolutely is a practice. It's a practice of looking at that little stuff and pulling out the things like, well, this didn't go well, but what did go well? Like, if I can give you 15 things that didn't go right, pick out one. Give me one that was okay. One thing that went smoothly. And in that one thing, how did that feel? What did you do with that experience? How did that make that experience okay? I mean, I'll give you an example. Right before, you know, I got on the call with you, I had realized that I had the timing. I had to pick up my son from an overnight field trip, and realized that the timing was exactly the same of when he was arriving and when I was going to be on the call. And so for the last half an hour, I thought, oh, man, how on earth is this going to work out? You know, it sort of just all came together, which feels like the story of my life, you know. So it's like, move fast, think fast, and try not to stress yourself out. But because my practices are live in the flow, allow it to be, and essentially the biggest practice ultimately is believing, or at least finding the proof that everything works itself out. We're super, super fantastic at worrying about things that never come to be. And so one of those simple practices is also using your past as proof that, hey, those things that you worried about, that you freaked out about for 2 weeks or a month or even 35 seconds didn't happen. And 99% of the time they don't happen. And so that becomes your proof book that life actually is okay and is supporting you. And that's a real simple thing to do as well. You know, that piece of like writing things down, that becomes your proof. Like, hey, even in the crappiest of days, things did work out in some way.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that, because one of my tricks is to remind myself, number one, is this the most important thing I will ever do in my life? If the answer is usually,
oh, yeah, right.
Number two,
yep.
Whenever I get ready to do an event, you know, and you have some events, you've been doing this a while, you have some events where you get just a great group of people, and then you get those events where you have three people who show up. And what keeps me from going a little nuts is, I tell my speakers this all the time, focus on the people who show up, not on the ones who don't. That one reminder keeps me really sane when I have one of those days where, okay, we don't know who's going to show up for this event. We don't know if this is going to be, you know, and how am I going to qualify this as a success? Because sometimes a three-person workshop can be a success, particularly if you walk away with revenue. Do you have any thoughts on that at all or no?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's great advice too, because it is really a lot of the times we're looking at, where does our disappointment come from? It comes from unmet expectations. So again, that practice of sort of that living in the flow, I often talk about living with curiosity as opposed to expectation, that kind of that question of, hey, what's going to happen next? Having it be open and flowy versus, ugh, what's going to happen next? Sort of like, this is what I think is going to happen. If that doesn't happen, I'm going to be really disappointed. So when you start to allow things to be what they are, like you said, being in the present, experiencing what's in front of you, that's in that moment, that's what's meant for you. What can you gain from that? Absolutely, that focus on looking at what's in front of you and how can you appreciate it is perfect.
Absolutely. Now, and for those of you who are not familiar with the term or the word serendipity, it means happy occurrence of circumstances, unexpected circumstances. And so it really, life is serendipitous. There's always, you know, you think your day is going to be one way, and then, you know, two or three things happen, and you're like, oh, well, that's interesting. You know, that's a good thing that just happened, you know, and why not? You sort of go with that. I had a serendipitous week, I should say, because I had a number of new accounts that came in that I wasn't expecting. I didn't know these people. They heard about me. They contacted me. They registered, and so it was a profitable week, and I'm really happy about that. You know, and I think, and I don't know if you agree with this, but I think sometimes we have a tendency of focusing too much on the negative and not the positive. I think this was sort of the message that you were talking about. Would you agree with that or no?
Oh, sure. I mean, now, of course, in my profession, you know, my son actually said to me recently, you know, Mom, it would be so nice if people came in and, like, I wish you didn't just listen to people complain all day. Like, what would it be like for you if people, like, just tell you good stuff? I'm like, I don't know what that would be like. Because in my practice, absolutely, all I'm doing is listening to people and, you know, complain. And it is complaining or talking about their woes or whatever. But for me, the way that, you know, my skills are my skill base, but also my passion is to take that negativity or how we're perceiving the negativity and switch it up. Like, all right, let's shift the perspective a little bit and say, well, this is what's not working for me. Let's focus on what is working for you. And just that simple shift alone, because the practice is the negative thinking. It is. It's just sort of how we're taught culturally in our society. It's just sort of like, my gosh, you watch the news for 5 minutes, you would think that, like, the world is the worst possible place. Like, we're in the worst possible condition ever. And you always are hearing people, well, I'm the state of the world now, because we're not focusing on the things that are going well. We're focusing on the crap. We're focusing on the fear. And so, and it's because it sells, right? So joy doesn't sell. Happiness doesn't sell. And yet that's what we're all striving for. which is why we do, you know, we talk about stuff like this and we write these books and we say, hey, man, maybe it's not so bad. Like, let's focus on some of the things that are working well. And if they're not, let's create it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And speaking of books, you have a new book that's out, 30 Days to Me. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, this is my book on I was going through my own internal chaos storm of, man, I feel off. I'm, you know, doing all the things that feel right, but I still feel off. I was feeling disconnected from myself. And so this book came to be in that process of I wanted to learn what it meant to love myself, to reconnect with myself, to know who I was. Because even though I had been doing studying other people, I hadn't really studied myself. And so that became the process of digging down and first of all, practicing living with joy by committing to doing something for myself that brought me joy every single day for 30 days. And also within that came these dig deep questions that I was really starting to look at myself and my belief systems and question, like, is this true for me and is this working for me, and finding ways to change it up. So it's really a how-to guide to reconnect with self and to find that joy that's already there, not create, you know, dig out new stuff necessarily. Part of that is that, but it's also, you know, looking for the serendipity, allowing the serendipity, letting the unexpected joy come in. So it's just really it's a process, you know, it's a 30-day process. And it's meant to be fun and enjoyable and not like a dig deep, hard, let's cry it out every day kind of thing. Cause that doesn't work for me. That's not fun for me. So, and I started it with myself so I could teach it to other people, and I'm loving that ride.
So tell everyone where they can reach you, get copies of your book, and if you want to make an offer, feel free to do that.
Yep, my website is the best way to find me, and that is livingwithserendipity.com. And on there you can find my book, 30 Days to Me. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, a bunch of other booksellers around the world, and as well as my podcast that I'm doing. And I've been writing blogging and articles around the web as well that are on there with these simple practices and tips and perspectives. And I tell a lot of inspirational stories as they come as well. I also have my children's book on there, The Secret to Beating the Dragon, another perspective shifter on looking at grief for kids and making some of those harder moments more positive. So that's the easiest place to find me, livingwithserendipity.com.
All right, sounds good. Lynn Riley, thank you so much for calling in and giving us your opinion, your perspective. I really appreciate it. Will you come back and talk to us again?
Gladly. Thank you so much, Tony. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, and we will be right back after these messages.
If you are a professional who feels stuck under a glass ceiling and your gifts are going to waste, then I have a special gift for you. I'm Amanda Eloesh, San Francisco's leading spiritual success mentor, and I find that many professionals who come to me feel like they've tried everything they can think of to get ahead and still hunger for more meaning and fulfillment. I can help you to reach more clients and make more money through deep spiritual awakening and medicine ceremonies. For a complimentary 60-minute exploration of how I can help you, visit eloesh.com. That's eloesh.com. And grab your Breakthrough to Success mentoring kit. It's my gift to you so you can stop struggling and start living your purpose now.
Most of us experience 200 chemicals before we get to the breakfast table. Want to kick chemicals to the curb? Start with the largest organ of your body, your skin. From the banks of the Rogue River in Michigan, Flow Soap Studio has created a chemical-free soap that your body will love. Our soap is made with botanical oils, natural colors, and scented with pure essential oils. It's vegan and never tested on animals. That means no tallow from large factory slaughterhouses, no GMO oils, detergents, perfumes, or harsh sulfates. Not a single ingredient is created in a laboratory, so it's safe for the environment and amazing for your skin. Find us on Facebook at Flow Soap Studio or visit flowsoapstudio.com today and get free shipping. That's Flow, F-L-O-W, soapstudio.com.
Okay, and our next guest is Faye Katarif, hopefully I didn't screw that up too much, who is who's on the line, and she's a speaker, and she's a figure skater coach and an author. And Faye, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, okay, terrific. I just wanted to make sure that you were there. Thanks so much for calling in, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, so tell everybody. Thanks so much for calling in. Tell everybody about your career, because you went from being a figure skater coach to an author to a public speaker. Tell everybody about that transition. How long were you a coach, and why did you make that transition?
Sure. I coached skating for over 25 years, and I actually coached at the highest level. And right now it's my time because it's Olympics, and I coached 12 years ago in 2006 Olympics in Italy. My student was second place, and that really kind of was a transition because my student was supposed to win the gold medal, but instead of winning that gold medal, she made mistakes and she got silver instead. And I like to tell people, you know, there is a difference between winning the silver and losing the gold. And my student lost the gold. And that really kind of marked the transition. At the time, I thought my dream came true. I'm an Olympic coach now. I mean, I really got exactly what I wanted, but I didn't know that there was more in store for me and that Olympics was going to become a platform for stepping into something bigger. So because she lost that gold medal, and she lost the gold medal because she wasn't 100% confident. She had doubts, and we all have doubts. The difference in doubts in normal life and doubts at the Olympics is that, you know, that doubt takes 1 second and you make a mistake and your whole life is finished, really, on the ice at that moment.
Mm-hmm. So you're being a coach, you're a bit of a perfectionist. And one of the things that you want to make sure, you wanted to make sure because you no longer coach, is that anybody that you're coaching is really 100% committed, perfection, 100% right there. That works in coaching, but in real life, that's, you know, things happen, and you know, you can't always be 100%, and, you know, sometimes you're not feeling 100%. Is it difficult to help other people and see them sort of not give 100%?
Well, I think it's always 100%. It's just 100% today may not be 100% tomorrow. There may be different 100% depending on where you are. And I feel that people, a lot of the times, they just struggle with their self-worth and self-confidence, and that is the biggest thing that I committed myself to helping people discover the kind of confidence that's bulletproof, that you don't lose it whenever. And you learn to live with yourself and understand who you are. So it is a perfection and it's not. It depends on how you look at the perfection, I think. And if we see that we are a spark of spirit, God within, then how can we be anything less than perfection from that point of view?
Okay. So you talk a lot about and write a lot about the Choreography of Awakening. As a matter of fact, that's the name of your book, Choreography of Awakening. Why did you write this book, and what do you want people to get from reading this book?
That's a beautiful question. I wrote this book because I wanted to help people to awaken into the realization that we are more than just five sensory beings, that we have more, we're just bigger, and we can create more things, and how to do that in a more enlightened way. And it just happened that all of a sudden I could see that the whole life is like a sport. It's like a long program of a figure skater. And the same thing, like in figure skating program, there are elements that the athlete has to master in order to win that Olympic. We have to master other elements in life in order to be fulfilled and happy. Like, we're not fulfilled and happy when we're not living our purpose, when we're not being the best that we can be, when we're not enough. That's the biggest one. When we live in fear or shame or guilt, then we cannot really reach our potential. And I wanted to share the tools and strategies of how to overcome that. And I also wanted to share it in a way that is not like self-help, preachy, do this, you should do that, you should do that, like other books. I wanted it to be more like choreography, like a story that you just enjoy reading. So it's more like a parable instead of this is what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's choreography of awakening.
So I'm curious, are you watching the Olympics now? Do you have any thoughts on, you know, what's happening and are you rooting for any particular team?
Well, I got to watch yesterday the ladies' event. Normally, mm-hmm. I didn't actually get to watch anything other than a little bit on YouTube because I don't have TV, I don't watch TV. And this was kind of like hindering me a little bit. But yesterday I got a chance to watch the ladies' finals, and it was incredible. I can see the sport has made a huge leap since the time that I stopped coaching. People pay more attention to mental development than they have in the past. So skaters were more advanced and they were more confident than they ever been before. So it was really interesting to see that. I love watching sports to see more of a mental game rather than the physical game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would you ever go back into coaching? I mean, you've clearly, you know, you've got the experience and you can certainly help people. Would you ever consider going back into it?
No. Never. Don't get me wrong. I love coaching my students, and I love helping people reaching their potential. But in the sports, I felt that a lot of the times, athletes and coaches are so enveloped in their ego selves that they just fight for those medals, and they fight for beating others and proving their significance and proving their superiority, and it's not what I'm interested in anymore. I don't want to be feeding people's egos. I want to see athletes competing from a space of transcendence. I want to see them inspiring and empowering people and showing them, hey, look, this is what we humans are capable of. And I want you to be inspired by it. I want you to be entertained. I want to prove to you that I am better than my friend next door. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So from that space.
I was going to say on a slightly different note, one of the things I was actually a little surprised to learn is that people who compete at the Olympics, when they win, they still have to, like, they win the gold medal, they have to pay taxes on that. which I didn't know until a few years ago. I was really shocked to see that, because you're representing your country, and, you know, I would think that you would be tax exempt. Do you have any thoughts on that at all, or no?
Well, this part of the sport is not something that interests me. So I feel that Olympics is like the same as running for a president of the country. It's not about winning the election. It's about stepping on the platform for the greatest good of all concerned. It's not about proving your superiority and being like, look at me, 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 me. It's not about that. It's about humanity. It's about people. It's about greater service. It's about service. You become an instrument. Mm-hmm. Like for me, it's about becoming an instrument of spirit for the greatest good.
Okay. I like that. Tell everybody where they can get copies of your book, reach out to you, and if you want to make an offer, feel free to do so.
Absolutely. I have created a self-realization program that's called I Imagined Life, and it helps people to discover exactly who they need to be in order to be fulfilled and happy, and exactly 12 steps in specific order. And to learn more about this program, they can go to imagindlife.com. And the reason is I imagine because it stands for I am, and I am stands for the higher self. Imagine meaning visualizing yourself as your high self, and intending to step into being your high self. So that's exactly what I Imagine Life is all about. It's about stepping into the high self, visualizing it, and intending to become that. And it's a specific tool that helps you to do that by drinking water.
Okay. That sounds good.
So wouldn't it be cool
if you
were drinking water and stepping into your best self?
Okay. I drink a lot of water, and I try every day to be my best self. Some days I make it, some days not so much. Faye, will you come back and talk to us again in the future?
Absolutely. I would love to.
All right. Sounds good. Listen, have a wonderful weekend, and I will talk with you soon, okay?
All right. Thank you. It was wonderful talking with you, Tony.
All right, and we will be right back.
Hi, this is Lisa Downs with Downs Leadership. I work with technical leaders and teams in STEM professions to increase their productivity, collaboration, and innovation, and decrease dysfunction, miscommunication, and bad fit when it comes to hiring. Basically, if there's a people problem, I can help you solve it. Whether you're a startup or an established business, Downs Leadership can provide you with one-on-one leader coaching, executive coaching, and team building and development. Do any of these scenarios sound familiar? Your business is growing so fast, you don't have time to get to know your people. You spend so much time dealing with conflict that you feel like a parent refereeing the kids. You have managers who haven't had good support and knowing how to manage effectively. Your team doesn't know each other well and how to best work together. You keep hiring the wrong people and need some help figuring it out. If you said yes to any of these situations, give me a call at 425-216-3015 or visit downsleadership.com today to learn more and schedule a free leadership strategy session with me. That's Lisa Downs with Downs Leadership. Data-driven, STEM-focused, results realized.
Discover the three top reasons why your money flow may be blocked. You've lost your creativity because you have way too much stress in your life. You are out of alignment with your soul purpose, or your inspiration has run dry. If you are experiencing any of these, then you will love the free gift from Lucy McMonagle that will make you a money magnet. Get instant access at wealthpouch.com. This is the one tool that will open the floodgates of your wealth today. So go to wealthpouch.com now and get instant access. I will see you at wealthpouch.com.
Hello, this is Meenakshi Ramesh from www.tapyourwaytohealing.com. I'm a certified EFT practitioner. EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques, also called as tapping. Ask yourself these questions. Are you struggling with any physical or emotional discomfort? Are you tired of being overwhelmed and stressed? Have you been procrastinating on your projects? Have you been feeling guilty for all your mistakes? Are you suffering from insomnia? Do you want to improve your self-confidence? Are you struggling to lose weight? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, send me an email at tapyourwaytohealing@gmail.com for a free complimentary session. I hope to see you there. Thank you.
Startup Founders, are you looking for resources, space, mentors, service providers? Visit us.techcode.com. Is your company growing and are you ready to access new markets? Overseas, China, Europe, North America? Visit us.techcode.com. Are you a mentor or service provider that are interested in access to startups in incubators or accelerators throughout the world? Visit us.techcode.com.
Business Connections of Nevada, where Las Vegas small business professionals meet for professional networking. Business Connections of Nevada, with over $10 million in revenues amongst its members in 3 years, it's no wonder why we're Las Vegas' premier networking group. Our progressive approach to membership includes, but doesn't depend just on referrals alone. We're more than that, much more. Our membership continues to grow because our peer-to-peer education and collaboration results in both professional and personal growth. Come grow with us at bcn-nv.com. We meet at the Beacon Center. The Beacon Center, practical and affordable meeting space for any professional event. The Beacon Center, located near the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. The Beacon Center is convenient from anywhere in Las Vegas. Go to thebeaconcenter.com for details. This is Connections of Nevada, bcn-nv.com. The Beacon Center, thebeaconcenter.com.
Okay, and that's our show. We were supposed to have one other guest call in, but unfortunately they got tied up, I guess, so maybe we will reschedule them. But I will be off the air next week and back on the air on the 9th of March, and when we'll have all new guests, which I'm really excited about, as always. And if you happen to be in San Diego, be sure to stop by the main library for our Women of Influence conference. And that's going to be on Monday, February 26th. And then on Tuesday, February 27th, we'll be back at the library, just in a larger room, for my sales strategy event. In the meantime, tomorrow, be sure to tune in. We're going to be online for the Next Level Pitch Fest, and that's going to be an online competition for speakers. Super excited about that, and I hope that you will join us. Until the 9th, thanks so much for tuning in, and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Pockets full, just a burden as it seems. Well, now cash is. you to starve fit. How dare you?